Everybody, to the latest edition of the Sykes Green Cricket Journal podcast. Today we're going to be discussing the upcoming test series between Sri Lanka and Bangladesh. I am your host today, Mr. Tohid Qureshi, and we have two highly esteemed guests joining me today to discuss the series. I'd like to introduce both of them. Firstly, let me introduce someone who's been on the show a couple of times before. I consider him to be a friend of the show, a friend of the podcast. He is an international commentator who has followed the Bangladesh cricket team throughout the world. He is, of course, Mr. Shamim Chowdhury. Welcome, Shamim Bhai.
Thank you very much. Good evening to all your viewers.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us today, Shamim Bhai. And also, I'd like to introduce someone who I'm hugely happy to have on today. He's also another international commentator. He's actually done quite a bit of work in Bangladesh as well, covering the BPL amongst other matches in Bangladesh. He is someone who has an incredible insight into Sri Lanka cricket. He is also a commentator. He is Mr. Roshan Abesingh. Welcome, Roshan.
Thank you very much. Honored to be on your show, and good evening or good morning or whatever it is to everyone listening.
Absolutely, yeah. The time zones are certainly different. In London, it's afternoon, basically. It's coming up to 4 or just after 4:30 in the afternoon. But it's great to have you both on. I know you're both quarantining as we speak in the same hotel in Kandy, I understand. So great to have you both on. And I know you're both actually going to be commentating on the upcoming test series. So really great to have your insights ahead of that series. So before we begin, I guess just putting the series into a bit of context. So the upcoming test series is actually the last games being played in the current round of the World Test Championship. Unfortunately, both sides find themselves at the bottom of the table. Bangladesh, indeed, at the very bottom of the table with 0 points. Sri Lanka, actually, second from bottom, 120 points, having gained a couple of very commendable draws, actually, recently in the Caribbean against the West Indies. So I think that puts an interesting spin on the series. I don't think either team will want to finish kind of in last place in the World Test Championship. So I think that should act as an extra motivation, really, for both teams. But firstly, I wanted to kind of look at things from the Bangladesh kind of perspective. I think it's fair to say they haven't had a great few months. The most recent white ball tour of New Zealand was very disappointing. And then going back before that, they lost the two-match series in Bangladesh against the West Indies. Going back to that series in particular, Shamim Bhai, I thought there were lots of areas that they could improve on, certainly, and hopefully could have learned from. There's lots of reasons, I think, why they lost that series. I think particularly possibly Momenul Haque's captaincy could be looked at, or certainly I think he's under the microscope a little bit. He's very young in his captaincy, but I think the way he captained the team in that first test in particular, the last day of that first test, wasn't brilliant. Also, I think the way the spinners performed, perhaps they could have been a bit more proactive, bowled with a little bit more guile. I felt at times during the series they were kind of almost waiting for the pitch to kind of do the work for them. And then also, you know, I think there's this constant approach in terms of team selection in terms of bowling for Bangladesh, where we've seen that they've been very reluctant to select more than one fast bowler. So, Shamim Bhai, yeah, just interested in your thoughts around all of those things. Do you think we'll see much change in this series?
Well, you know, there's been a squad of 21 members selected for this tour because of the fact that they're not going to get any of the Sri Lankan players to play in the playoff match, which is actually finishing today. It's on. I don't know the final result, but a lot will depend. They'll cut it down from 21 to 15 or 16 for the test squad, final test squad. But just going back to that series against the West Indies, I think on both occasions and the two test matches, Bangladesh had played themselves into winning positions from, you know, put up a fight, but it's just the mindset and the physical and the mental aptitude, which on when it mattered most, when the pressure was there, they could not cope with. I think that comes from not playing longer version cricket at all. I'm saying at all, because most of these test players, when they go out, either playing international matches in or out of the country, hardly get a chance to play whatever little domestic longer version cricket is on. And that has not been on at all for the whole of last year because of COVID. And so, I mean, I'm not making an excuse, but they really need to play this longer version more often. They started the National Cricket League, but that had to be postponed because COVID resurgence of the virus again in Bangladesh. So it has been a difficult time. Despite all that, I think the West Indies, they played well in the One Day International, won it 3-0. But that was a very, very depleted West Indian side. So you would expect Bangladesh, whose strong point is the One Day Internationals, One Day version. But once they came and played the test match, particularly the one in Chattogram, the first one, it's ridiculous when you are in a commanding position with two debutants coming in lower down the order with, I think, 395 to win. And you've got the game in control at the end of the fourth day, and you go and lose that match. It's extraordinary how, I mean, this must be something unique in Test cricket, that a team in such a strong position, dictating terms, actually gone and lost the match. And then again, they did the hard work in the second Test match, got the West Indians out for a small amount that gave them the opportunity of going and scoring, I don't know, about 200 something odd runs, and they faltered again. This is inexplicable. This commentating, I couldn't believe my eyes that this was going on. And this shows that they are not mature enough physically and mentally because of the negatives that lead up. Bangladesh, having been bred on a diet of one-day cricket, it's still going on. So the maturity and the approach and the resilience that's required to play test matches is still missing. And I'm afraid it's going to be a very, very difficult task for them in Sri Lanka, because the Sri Lankans, as you said, have come back from a wonderful series against the West Indies. I'm sure Roshan is going to talk about that. And the Bangladeshis have been slaughtered in the white ball version in New Zealand. So they're not going to be full of confidence. And just going back, sorry, Roshan, I'm taking a bit of time here, just answering his questions. Mominal Haque's captaincy leaves a lot to be desired. I don't think he's proactive enough. I don't think he's doesn't take the right decisions. There have been occasions, there have been blatant mistakes in the field and in the attitude and the approach of him as a captain. When things needed to be done, unfortunately, that did not happen in the middle. Opportunities missed. I think that's where they're looking at him. Maybe this is his last opportunity to prove his worth as a captain. And also the coach, Russell Domingo, has come under the microscope for not really getting the players to gel together properly and getting them to play good cricket. So all in all, very, very difficult task ahead of them in the next two test matches.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that assessment. I think, yeah, just I guess going back to that West Indies series, the most disappointing aspect was not being able to convert those kind of real winning opportunities, like you said. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a fascinating challenge that they have in Sri Lanka, coming against a team that, like you say, have played very good test cricket recently in the Caribbean. One thing I wanted to ask you, Shamim Bhai, is, yeah, so you're right, a lot of these players in the squad haven't played a lot of first class or red ball cricket at all, kind of leading up to this series. One player I would say where that maybe has been a bit of an exception is Saif Hassan. So he was very much part of the recent Island A tour to Bangladesh, where the emerging Bangladesh team played Island A, and they comprehensively beat that Irish team 3-0 in the one days, and I think it was a 4-day test they played. And throughout that series, Saif Hassan played really well, scored lots of runs. Just thinking of team composition, would you think that he is someone who could come into the team and maybe create a bit of a change, have a bit of an impact?
I suppose there is a chance for him. But I tell you what, Tawhid, Ireland Wolves, or the A team at home in Bangladesh, and Sri Lanka team in Sri Lanka, a completely different kettle of fish. And now, Saif Hassan had scored a century in that series, as you mentioned, did well in the white ball formats too. But I just feel that he's not mature enough. He's been given, I think he's played two test matches and recently against the West Indies. I don't think he really proved his worth as yet. Just a point here, Saif Hassan's mother is Sri Lankan. A lot of people don't know that, actually. And if someone's got a little bit of a half a home advantage, I suppose he has. But right-handed batsman, left-right combination, maybe he'll be considered. He might be in the squad. And depends on how he's played in this practice match that's going on. Because a lot will depend on the final squad, as I mentioned earlier. So definitely, he's a good prospect, but he will be really tested. And that's an area, I suppose, you'll have to give it a try. Shadman Islam, the other opening batter, will be in contention because he's had recent cricket and is possibly done slightly a shade better than Saif Hassan. So those are the options that are there for opening partner of Tamim Iqbal.
Yeah, I was actually very impressed with Shadman Islam in that first test. He actually didn't play in the second test. I'm not sure if it was through injury or I'm not sure if he tested positive for COVID, but he did miss that second test. But I thought he played a very patient innings in that first test. In the first innings of the first test, he scored a very sort of patient 50. So he's certainly someone I would like to see in the top of the order. just sticking with team selection for a minute, in terms of Bangladesh team selection, also interesting to see if they'll pursue selection of Najmul Hussain Shantu, who really did underperform during that test series, and indeed the one day series actually against the West Indies. Didn't really do a lot in New Zealand either, so it'd be interesting to see if his place is retained. And then also on the bowling front, Shamin Bhai, interested to see your sort of take on who the bowlers might be. I think it's safe to say, well, again, it depends on pitch conditions, and you know, traditionally we would expect pitches in Sri Lanka to spin a lot. Maybe Roshan can give us some insight into the pitch at Kandy. But Shamin Bhai, do you think that the composition in terms of bowlers will be very different? Do you think they'll play more than one fast bowler, for example?
Well, they've got a pack of five fast bowlers here in the 21 they've brought along. So definitely there will be more than one. I think there'll be at least two pace bowlers who will be used. Sri Lankan conditions may be more conducive to spin, but they're also bouncy pitches. I'm sure Roshan can tell us more about that. But I think the idea is to get in more pace bowlers. I mean, in Bangladesh itself, they produce all these pace bowlers and prepare them mentally to play in the test matches. When the actual squad is announced, there's hardly one or a part-time bowler. This is absolutely incredible. You've got to give it a try. You've got to ensure that your wickets are prepared in such a manner that it gives that help that's required for pace bowlers to replicate overseas conditions. And it's not coming. They've done some of it. They've got a bank of fast bowlers. But once it's the crux, when the team's announced, it's only either one paceman used or a part-timer. This, I cannot understand this thought process, but it might be different in Sri Lanka. As I said, there's a crop of fast bowlers. Interesting, you're talking about fast bowlers. There are three of them come from the same area, Sylhet, as you do. Abu Jaya Chaudhry, Khalid Ahmed, and Ibadat Hussain. And interestingly, Roshan, there are four Chaudhrys in this squad. They're not, it's Abu Jaya Chaudhry, Ibadat Hussain Chaudhry, Shubhagat Hom Chaudhry, and Yasir Ali Chaudhry. So watch out for the Chaudhrys.
We will, it will certainly be interesting.
I'm not going to ask Shamim anything.
It's, yeah,
watch,
no,
out for
it's,
the, it, watch out for the Chaudhry in the commentary box.
I know my friend Shamim very well.
I would certainly hope that out of all those Chaudhrys, I'd certainly hope that Abu Jayed Chaudhry is selected. I think he will be. I think he's the sort of primary bowler in the pack. And if I was to choose someone else to kind of bowl with him, I suppose it, Tuskin Ahmed, I suppose, would be my kind of pick to kind of act as a duo in terms of the fast bowling. So yes, it will be certainly interesting to see how or if more than one fast bowler is picked. I think, you know, every single Bangladesh cricket follower or fan that I speak to is crying out Bangladesh. But of course, all that does very much depend on the pitch and conditions that we might expect in Kandy. So, Roshan, really interested to kind of get your insights, I guess, firstly, in terms of the kind of pitch and conditions that might be expected in the Test series, but also more sort of generally from a Sri Lankan point of view, how confident are the Sri Lankan team going into this series?
First and foremost, I think Sri Lanka has broken with traditions, broken from what they used to do. They would normally start a series in Galle, where, you know, the pitch would turn from day one and it would spin square. But this time, they have gone in the opposite direction. And they have come to Kandy, which is the most pace-friendly pitch in Sri Lanka, simply because of the altitude and also the type of conditions that prevails. But of course, Palekale is in the dry zone of Kandy. So it's not as, shall we say, wet. And you know, it's not English, so to speak, though we are up in the hills. It's a dry area, but generally, it will help the faster bowlers. So I won't be surprised if Sri Lanka go in with three fast bowlers and, sorry, one spinner. So that might be quite a shift from what Sri Lanka used to do, where they would play one fast bowler and three spinners in goal. So their plan, quite obviously, is to try and attack the Bangladesh batsman with extra pace. So they got a few options. Lahiru Kumara is sure to play. He can bowl at 150. Suranga Lakmal should play. And the next interesting point would be whether it would be the left armer, which I think might be the one that the Sri Lankan selectors would go with in the first test, or someone who looks very, or who bowls very similar to Suranga Lakmal, mid-130s, swings the ball. Asita Fernando, who's about good 10, 12 years younger than Lakmal, who's just finding his feet. So that, to me, is the Sri Lankan bowling composition with... It's interesting to see Sri Lanka has two spinners. You know, whether they would play both spinners, but my gut feeling is that they'll play three fast bowlers and the left-arm spinner and will give him a debut. I think it's Jayavikram, a youngster. I haven't heard much about him. And they will also use the off-spin of Dhananjay De Silva. This pitch will turn. Day 4-5 will find some spin. But predominantly, it's a pitch that the fast bowlers are going to enjoy. So that's as Roshan, far as the pitch is concerned. Yeah.
Roshan, just, I just heard that Angelo Matthews has returned. So that's another plus point for the Sri Lankans.
No, yeah, I was going to come to that. For the first time in many years, Sri Lanka is having a batting lineup. I'm not saying it's going to take the world by fire, but see, they are having a batting lineup that is having plenty of competition. Because if you look at that side that played, in the West Indies, the top six that played looked settled. You know, there is Thirimana who's batting as well as he's done in his whole life. You know, this must be his best little, phase of his batting, because against England, against the West Indies, he appears to have adjusted his technique a little bit. He's playing the ball close to his body, waiting for the ball to come to him rather than fishing outside the off stump. That has to be with a slight technical adjustment that he's possibly made. One needs to take a close look to see where he's made that adjustment. But either way, it's paid off quite well. Dimuth Karunaratne didn't do too well in the West Indies, but last game he got amongst the runs. Then also the Fernando at three. Chandimal, by his high standards, had a poor series. So he should be someone who should be disappointed with his performance in the West Indies, because I rate him very highly. Then Dhananjay De Silva and Pathum Nisanka. So there are six batsmen who have done well in the West Indies. So there's Angelo Matthews who's coming. So that's very interesting. Dasun Shanaka is another one who can come into the test side. So Sri Lanka has some options. I'll be very interested to see what six they will play. Dick Waller, obviously, is the first choice wicketkeeper. He should bat at seven. And then the four bowlers. So the four bowlers look settled, at least three of the fast bowlers and one spinner. So this is a fairly good-looking Sri Lankan batting lineup, and a lineup that is looking far more promising and far more stable to what Sri Lanka used to have. Like, shall we say, against England, Sri Lanka was forced to play almost the same side with little bit of tinkering. But here, the Sri Lankans did a lot of tinkering in the West Indies, and it has paid off. So I believe the Sri Lankans, with the home advantage, with the advantage of having extra pace, and the fact, as you correctly said, as they come off a good series against the West Indies, they'll go in confident, though I won't say that they'll be overwhelming favourites, but they'll go in confidence. But if there is an area that the Sri Lankans will have to watch, that is an area where they need to find bowlers who can get 20 wickets. See, that has been the problem. Even in the West Indies, they haven't been able to get 20 wickets. So that, to me, is still a concern. And I hope that concern has been addressed.
Yeah, I think what you're saying, Roshan, is fascinating, certainly in terms of the pitch and conditions. Certainly, if they do play three fast bowlers, I think that will be a really interesting challenge for Bangladesh to be able to face. Traditionally, Bangladesh not Bangladesh
and
batsmen.
And just to stop you there, I don't think Sri Lanka has fielded three fast bowlers in a home test match in a very long time, as long as I could remember. I cannot really recall Sri Lanka playing three fast bowlers. Maybe in the early 2000s, when Chaminda Vaz and Dilhara Fernando and someone else played with Murali, the sole spinner, where the Sri Lankans had the luxury of Murali, where they could, adjust their combination. But since then, it's either one or two fast bowlers. So this is going to be very, very different and very much against the Sri Lankan grain.
Well, yeah, as I say, I think it'll be fascinating if those three fast bowlers play, and it'll be fascinating in terms of how Bangladesh reacts to that. Firstly, in terms of their batsmen, I would say traditionally Bangladesh batsmen have struggled to cope with genuine pace in terms of the short ball in particular, and also whether or not, Bangladesh team selection also kind of reflects perhaps a fast pitch or a faster pitch than is traditionally expected in Sri Lanka. And just, I guess, picking up on some of those players that you've mentioned, I mean, watching sort of some of that West Indies series, I was hugely impressed by Lakmal. I know he's someone who's been around for a little while, but just the number of wickets that he picked up in that series against a pretty confident, you know, West Indies batting lineup as well was very impressive. Also very impressed by Nisanka making his test debut, scoring a century on debut, and then following that up with a 50 in the second test. I think he's also one to watch going forward. And then I think, yeah, you mentioned him, one of my sort of favourite players in the current sort of Sri Lanka lineup, and that is Digwela. I think he's a fascinating player, exciting to watch. He's one of these kind of players, certainly in the white ball formats, who can play 360 degrees. And also, he's just very funny, I find him, when he's keeping wickets. He's always got something very amusing to say. So kind of looking forward to kind of watching him play. Shaminbhai, going back to you, just kind of hearing about those pitch conditions and the potential composition of the Sri Lanka team, does that kind of, you know, does that, do you think, provide a stiffer challenge for Bangladesh?
I think Bangladesh, whatever the combination of the Sri Lankan team is, it's going to be a stiff challenge. Compounded by the fact that if it's a bouncier track and they've got three paces, as Roshan is anticipating, I think this is an ideal opportunity for the Sri Lankan team to try out the three paces with a team like Bangladesh, who, as you mentioned, the batsmen are susceptible to short pitch deliveries and not very comfortable at playing the faster boys. So, ideal opportunity, but at the same time, when you're thrown in the deep end, you expect to put up your best and try and struggle and survive. And that's the test that Bangladesh will have to go through. And maybe that kind of wicket that Roshan was mentioning and the overhead conditions will encourage Bangladesh to at least take on two pace bowlers, as we were mentioning before. So all in all, I think it's going to be a tough ask. Bangladesh have got to really show a lot of temperament. They have been known to be temperament-wise, you know, patience is a virtue, they say, and unfortunately a virtue that has been missing with the Bangladeshi boys for a long, long time. This just harping on the fact that the bread on a diet of one-day cricket, they, you know, as Roshan mentioned, one of the players adjusting to playing closer to the body and not fishing outside the line of the delivery. You know, so that is one area that Bangladesh has been, even a good player like Tamim Iqbal, has been guilty in the past of actually trying to fish outside, trying to play away from his body when there's lesser control over the shot. So these are things that they'll have to adjust. They'll have to put up their best. First and foremost, it's in the mind. I think they've got to tell themselves, look, this is not a lost cause. This is an opportunity. They'll think back to the last time they were here when they drew the test series. They won the 100th test match Bangladesh played. They won that match against the Sri Lankans. So they'll take heart from that performance, the previous performance, and hopefully they'll put up their best.
Shaminbhai, yes, I think you're absolutely right. I think a lot of Bangladesh's issues are in terms of sort of self-belief, I find, really, certainly watching that series against the West Indies, where they got themselves into those good positions, but didn't quite seem to have that self-belief to get themselves over the line. So as we said, I think it's going to be a fascinating kind of test series in prospect. I think there's a huge emphasis for both teams, on both teams, to do well. As I said, I don't think either team wants to end up bottom of that test championship table. Roshan, then, let me come to you. I'm just wondering if you have any actual kind of predictions. I don't know if you want to make a bold prediction in terms of what the outcome of the series will be, or indeed if you want to make a prediction on any particular player who you think will be one of the stars of the series.
I don't know whether Sri Lanka can afford to predict anything, because, see, don't forget, this series is between two weaker sides in international cricket. I mean, let's face it. I mean, whilst we are both very proud cricketing nations, you got to accept the fact that both teams are languishing at the bottom. So number 9 and 10 don't have too much to choose from, actually, or choose between, because Bangladesh might be slightly, you know, at a disadvantage, weakened, because they don't have some of the top players. I think Shakib's not here, Swami.
No, he's not. He's playing the IPL.
Yeah, he's gone to the IPL. So, you know, players like that being missed. Shakib is such a vital cog in the Bangladesh wheel. So, well, I would want to think that Sri Lankans will be... I said that they wouldn't be firm favourites first. But having looked at the two sides and looked at what Shamim said and understanding where Bangladesh is coming from and considering that the experience they carry isn't as great as what it used to be, then the Sri Lankans will, you know, go in with more confidence. But having said that, Sri Lanka in the recent past has proved to be very unpredictable, particularly in terms of the way they played. You know, if you look at the England series, they got into good positions and threw it away. So it's not beyond them. They can certainly do that because that's what we have seen. But considering the new competition for places in the bowling lineup and the batting lineup, I believe that we might see greater commitment, we might see greater discipline, and that should propel the team, hopefully, to do well. If that happens, if the synergy goes well, then I think Sri Lankans should be the favourites to win.
Yeah, I think you're right there, Roshan. I think a lot actually hinges on that first test match. And indeed, you know, in a two test series, you really want to gain the upper hand as quickly as you can. And I think once the upper hand is gained in a two test series, it's very difficult to come back and kind of level the series, win the next game. So I think really, yeah, even the first day of that first test is going to be vitally important. And as you say, I think, yeah, often contests between two kind of inconsistent teams and two teams that have obvious weaknesses actually are quite entertaining. So I'm kind of looking forward to it from that point of view. Shamim Bhai, I'm going to...
They can be very unpredictable. Either way, positive or negative. They can come up with something exceptional on one day and they can look more than ordinary on the other day. So that's what I think we can expect.
Yeah, and I think Bangladesh are kind of similar in some ways. Some, you know, they often veer from kind of a brilliant, you know, a brilliant innings or a brilliant spell of bowling to something that's really quite the opposite. So Shamim Bhai, also, yeah, just wondering if you've got any kind of predictions from what you're saying. It doesn't sound like you're awfully confident of Bangladesh doing very well in the series, but can you see them getting anything out of the series, even a drawn series maybe?
Well, I'm encouraged by the fact that according to Roshan, both teams have the same malaise with doing well and then suddenly everything turns around. But that is not something that you can depend on as a visiting team. You've got to play your best cricket. You've got to put your best foot forward. You've got to play with confidence. I think Sri Lanka are much, much the favorite. No question about that. They've got the home advantage. They may have played badly during the England tour, but they've more than made up overseas in the West Indies. I think they've done exceedingly well in drawing the two test matches. And that was a tough ask. No question about that. West Indies had the virtually strongest team, whereas Bangladesh, on the other hand, lost to a West Indian team which didn't have some of their best players. So that gives you a direct comparison between, you know, recent comparison between the two teams. The Bangladesh have got to, as I said, play their best cricket. It's not going to be easy. And, you know, like going for the jugular, when they get an opportunity, this has happened in white ball cricket, in red ball cricket, when they make the opportunities, cannot really convert that into success. That's what they've got to try and achieve. If they can put themselves in a position of advantage, of strength, and as I said, team combination, have got to be a little brave. The think tank have got to choose a team that's suitable for the conditions, not a team that they think might do well, disregarding what's required. if you see what I mean. So a lot of things to work on, but looking forward to an interesting fight. And yeah, best I can really hope for, as you mentioned, would be wonderful to draw the series. And but tough work ahead.
Indeed. And I think, yeah, bold selections and bold cricket would be a really refreshing thing to see from Bangladesh and indeed from both teams. So, gentlemen, I'm going to wrap it up there. Thank you so much, both of you, for joining me today. It'll be fascinating. Maybe we can catch up in a few weeks' time to see how the series has actually panned out and how some of these predictions have fared. But for now, both of you, thank you very much for joining me. And thank you, everyone, for watching. Goodbye for now.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Go ahead. Still.
Thank you.